So the Heilig Gemara Inayim on Parshas Vayakel. On the Gemara, since Vayakel begins with Shabbos, we have the sugi of Shabbos in the beginning of Vayakel. He quotes the Gemara in Shabbos that says, "Kol ma'anig as a Shabbos, noisun lay nachla b'li mitzor." Whoever enjoys the Shabbos, he receives, he is given a portion, a nachla, an estate, without any boundaries, out of bounds, no boundaries. It's an estate that's without limits. He becomes a no-limit person. Shenemar, v'achalticha nachlas Yaakov avicha, and by Yaakov avinu it says, v'farat t'yama v'kedma t'afayna v'negma, in all directions, no limits. So, what does this mean? So, the Moranayim says that this brings us into the secret of the Melechus HaMishkan. The Melechus HaMishkan, don't think for a second, the Mishkan was some little tabernacle, some building, a sanctuary dedicated to the service of God. No. The Mishkan was there was a function to the building of the Mishkan itself. Ordinarily, well, recently, you know, well, architecture sometimes takes a life unto itself. People make the building, you know, more chashuv than the contents of the building. But usually you imagine that what goes on in the building is more chashuv than the building. So the Supreme Court building in the United States of America is a very lovely building in Washington. It's a very chashuv building in the United States Supreme Court. And there's many museum buildings. They're very, very chashuv buildings and very architecturally innovative and beautiful. Nevertheless, despite the many architectural advantages of many buildings, still, we would be hard-pressed to say that the building is more important than the function. And the style does not overweigh the function. And what goes on in the Supreme Court is more important than the building of the Supreme Court. And what goes on in Capitol building in the United States, a very beautiful building, the Capitol building with a rotunda and wings and very chashuv. It's a gewaltig building, it's not pashut. But what goes on and the functioning of democracy is more chashuv than the building. But in the Mishkan itself had a tremendous intrinsic value. It could be that the Mishkan itself, the building of the Mishkan, there was a great message and a great significance to this building, beyond even what goes on inside the building. Because when Adam Rishon did the first sin, the original sin essentially lowered the world into the Olam HaShavira. This world became a world of fragmentization. Came a tzabrach in the welt. That's why people are so easily broken. People are very fragile. You ever notice? People's egos are very fragile. Notice that? People's moods are very fragile. One minute you're in a good mood, 5 seconds later you're in a bad mood. Stressed out. Not just stressed out, it's so easy. You get up in the morning, you're happy, then 5 minutes later you're not happy. But you get up, you're not happy, then you do get happy, then you're not happy. We're up, we're down. We are so fragile. And everything we accomplish is fragile. It can be easily, chas v'shalom, burnt down, lost. Everything is very fragile. So this world is called the Olam HaShvira. The Zohar also calls it the Alma de Piruda, the world of separation. All this is a result of the fact that there's Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. And when Hashem is one, everything in the world is one. And there is no period. But when Adam Rishon, by his chait, chased away the Shechina is no longer here. So that, it wasn't Stam he chased God out of this world. Adam Rishon thereby totally shattered the world. And from a world that was Echad, because Hashem was here and Hashem is Echad, the world became totally shattered. And that's why we have a big problem with relationships. Between man and wife, fathers and sons and fathers, and people, neighbors, friends, relationships are very fragile. Before the chait, Adam Rishon and his wife are much, they have much stronger bond of marriage. And after the chait, it became the oilam of shavira. Everything is broken. So, the purpose of the Mishkan is by putting together all the different components of the Mishkan, we are literally putting together the broken world back. The broken world is being put back together again. So don't think for a second the Mishkan is stam, just some kind of a temple, a tabernacle, and we're just putting it together so we can do things inside. The actual composition of the Mishkan, the organization and the bonding of the pieces together, literally every time that was done, it was mamash bringing the world back together again. So, they say you can't put Humpty Dumpty back together, all those little pieces. I challenge a person to take a broken egg and put all the little pieces of the eggshell back together. Probably an exercise of futility, but or a jigsaw puzzle that has 10,000 pieces. I wonder what the world's record for a jigsaw puzzle is. How many, what's the biggest jigsaw puzzle on record? Someone have the Guinness Book of Records? It's a lot, Mastama. And they have all these sculptures in the world today, these ice sculptures, and they have, there's a place in the world where like once a year they make huge sculptures that have oranges. They put together thousands and thousands of oranges, and they make old castles and all kinds of interesting, exotic figures. And of course the sand castles made of how many particles of sand is in a sandcastle? There's billions of particles of sand in the sandcastle. The Mishkan is the Avi Avos, is the great granddaddy of putting the broken world back together again. Now, the thing is that we could relate to that a little bit. You could relate to a broken eggshell. But what's really more broken than material things is our minds. Our minds are chopped liver. Our minds used to be one unit, and it was one unit. And after the chait, man's thoughts, as a theme I referred to many, many times, that our thoughts, our stream of consciousness, there's so many thoughts flying through our brain all day long. It's awesome. We can't even keep track of them. And that's really why we're not focusing. That's really why we don't remember very much, and all of our experiences are very shallow, because there's always this background chatter of the incessant mental explosions of the synapses in our brain, that all kinds of messages are coming somewhat subconsciously, semi-subconsciously. We hear it, but we don't exactly know what it is. But all that is a symbol, says the Mor Hanayim, of our mental fragmentation, and the Olam HaMachshava. And for spiritual people, the Olam HaMachshava, the world of thought, is more real than the world of matter. So material, it would seem to me that this is more real, this cup, this glass, this plastic glass, is more real than a thought that's flying through my mind right now. That's not true. The thought is much more real because the thought's forever. And the thought comes from a higher place. And the thought really, believe it or not, the thought has a bigger impact on me than this glass. What is this glass doing to me? Nothing. It's there. The thought's inside of me. And the truth of the matter is that for people who are neshama people, they know how to unify thoughts of their thoughts and other people, and I can project the thought onto you. I can make you think what I want you to think. You're a very weak-minded person. I'm a strong mind. If I project the strong thoughts of my mind onto you and beam it to you, you'll be thinking my thoughts. You know that. You'll be thinking my thoughts. We're gonna have a meeting of minds. Our minds are gonna meet. I mean it. So the Mor Hanayim says that the biggest tragedy of the chait of Adam Rishon was not just the shvira in the material world. What does that mean? That's not so significant. The most significant tragedy was the shvira of man's thoughts. And that's why in the Mishkan, everything is called Meleches Machsheves. Everything is called work of thoughts. thought out work. And really, today, we become the victims of our broken thought process, our punctuated thought process, by the fact that when we're davening or we're learning, and even as the Gedalia is looking at me very strict over here, staring and concentrating on me, who knows where your mind is? So your eyes might be focused on me, but where is your mind? Where are your thoughts taking you right now? You're someplace in Ukraine. I don't know where you are. You're in this North Pole. You can be thinking about anything under the sun. You might be thinking about graham crackers right now and mice. Who knows what you're thinking about right now? You'd be thinking about snakes and pink elephants, and who knows what your mind is on right now. And that is really where it counts, because the more our brains are fragmented, we are intellectually and mentally separated from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is really the avoid of a tzaddik, that Hashem gives a tzaddik a great challenge. We think that the main avoid of a tzaddik is to makarav lost people. So it looks like my tachlis is makarav Rabbi Yehuda over here. I have to elevate this lost soul over here and bring it to Har Madrega. That's easy. Bringing you to Har Madrega is not such a big deal. The question is, how do I bring your thoughts to Har Madrega? So what happens is, this is like a basic yisod of the Mora Naim again and again, is that the lowly thoughts, if a tzaddik, something in the middle of davening, has a thought that's way beneath his Madrega, that's really coming from one of the people underneath him, and the tzaddik is being called upon now to take the thought of that person who is under his hashpah, and the thought's going to enter into the tzaddik, attack the tzaddik's mind, try to pollute it and corrupt it, but the tzaddik say, no, that's not my tachlis. My tachlis is to take this thought and be malah to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm not going to let this thought drag me down. I know where it's coming from. It's coming from the Olam HaShvira. I am less shavur, I am less sabrachim than my constituent over here. My job is to take this thought that's coming from him, and I have to do him a service, and myself also a service, by the way, but I have to service him by being malah his lowly thought. I'm lifting him up and lifting myself up. That is the avodah. The mesaken machshavos zoros. Now, this is really what happens throughout the week. Such thoughts shouldn't penetrate our minds on Shabbos, he says.
I don't understand that part. How do you elevate someone else's thoughts?
By not accepting it to lower me down. So suddenly, in the middle of davening, some kind of thoughts come to me. So, I was in Ar Samea today, and the Bachar's telling me about, casual conversation after Shir. He's telling me about, I'm embarrassed to say, what his life was like in college and co-ed dorms. He starts talking to me about, he's telling me he can't go back to college. How can I go back to college? It's such a terrible place. And, Mamish, the Pritzis, especially in Miami. And, he starts telling me things. So now he's putting his thoughts into my brain. And the things that are going on in his mind, he's starting to tell me in my mind. So what am I supposed to do with that now? It must be the mission. I'm responsible for him because he's my Talmud. And I have to take those thoughts and say, I'm not going to let those thoughts corrupt my brain and contaminate it. I have to mal those thoughts and say, Rabbi Shimon, no, I'm not going to think the kind of way he thinks with these thoughts and the way where these thoughts led him in his previous life. I'm going to say, Rabbi Shimon, I want to give you nachas ruach. These thoughts cannot have a place in my mind. Anything that's attractive about these thoughts, I'll not be attracted to the type of these thoughts. I'm going to be attracted to have a type of your Torah and a type of you, Hashem. I want to be mamish dovka nafshi acharecha. I want to be garsa nafshi l'taiva. L'mitzvasecha kol hayayim. I want to learn with the taiva, learn with the cheshek, learn with the geshmak. So I'm not going to let these thoughts pull me down. I'm going to lift those thoughts up. Now really, this should not happen on Shabbos. On Shabbos, a person is supposed to have meichen the godless, v'tayin the godl. Shabbos is shleimus. The whole week, Ein binyan beis hamikdash doich haShabbos. The building of the Mishkan is not doich haShabbos. Because he says that's the pshat. The Mishkan, building the Mishkan implies that there is a level of fragmentization in my life. That there's a level of lack of shlemus. That there are chesroinus, there are gaps, there are holes, there are separations, there are divisions. So during the week you can build the Mishkan, not just the physical Mishkan made out of the krushim and out of the different ureas. I have to build the Mishkan of my mind. My thoughts that have been fragmented, I have to put that together again during the week. However, on Shabbos, if I was really a tzaddik, and I did my job of putting back the Mishkan together during the week, I would not be attacked by any bad thoughts on Shabbos. Because Shabbos is shleimus. Shabbos is perfection. Shabbos is completion. There's no room for that. And that's why Shabbos is called Moichan the Godless. The big Moyach, big head. And Shabbos is the name of the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Shlimu the whole citron. It's for all sides, it's perfect. And that's why it says, V'dabr davr, Chazal say, Lohi, the Buchen Shal Shabbos, Kizvur Shal Chol. You cannot talk on Shabbos like you talk during the week. Because Shabbos like you talk is a higher madrega of Shlemus. But if a person taka on Shabbos will have inappropriate thoughts, that means his mind is still in the Olam HaShavir, as we explained before. He's still in the fragmented, divided world. That means he didn't prepare himself enough. You have to prepare yourself for Shabbos 6 days a week. Shabbos Achanas don't start tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon. Shabbos Achanas starts mostly Shabbos. Which is why we light licht right after Abdullah. I'm already preparing for next Shabbos. Because the whole week is building the Mishkan all over again and taking all the different broken pieces, all the shards, and putting them back together. So when Shabbos comes, I have a fully integrated personality and I'm a Dalim of Shlemus and I have Moichan the Godless. But if you're not Meichan on Choyal, then you won't be Magyish to Kedusha Shabbos for Shlemus. You need a lot of help. So Shabbos is not one day a week, it's the culmination of six previous days of Avodah. And he says, that's the pshat, in the beginning of the parsha, Vayakel Moshe is called Adas B'nei Yisrael. Vayakel Moshe is called Adas B'nei Yisrael. The problem really is because there's a Kohol and there's an Eda. There's two different things, a Kohol and Eda. How can you say Vayakel as Adas B'nei Yisrael? You say Vayakel is Kehilas B'nei Yisrael. What's Adas? So Adas, he says, is referring to the word, Adas here has a different connotation, means Lashon Edi. Edi means jewels and ornamentation. What's the pshat? Now we know the Gemara says in Shabbos, by Mount Tayre every year, we said Nasav and Ishma got two crowns. The Malachi Asharis came down and crowned every year, they said Nasav and Ishma in one breath with two crowns, once for Nasav and once for Nishma. Here to the Chait, the angels came and took the crowns away. Originally, it was 600,000 crowns brought down. There was two crowns, but it was one angel brought down both crowns for every person. After the Chait, two angels came and took each one. One took one crown, one took the other crown. One took the Das, and one took the Nishma. Why? Because when they said there was a Nas and Nishma, it was one Nas and Nishma. There's no gap, no hesitation, no pause, no separation. It wasn't like two separate crowns, like one crown fused together. It was two made into one, no separation. They came back to the Madrega of Adam Kadam Chait, which is Lamalif and Adam Ashvira, Lamalif and Adam Ashvira. So that's why, so originally it was two crowns like one. After the Chait, it was like two separate crowns. But on Shabbos, the Zohar says, we get back the crowns. Hashem gives us back the crowns. Because that's the question of Edi. Edi is, it says, it's not the West Edyom, they are Chorev. The Edi is the crowns, the beautiful ornamentation. And on Shabbos they came back, because the Shabbos and they're fused together, symbolizing that Shabbos is no Shvira. And that's the reason why, he says, Amir de Gazach. That's why you can't wear tefillin on Shabbos. Especially tefillin shel Rosh. Because tefillin have four parshas, and tefillin shel Rosh have four separate compartments. The tefillin shel Rosh symbolize the Vach, which is separation, which is the Olam HaShvira. Tefillin shel Rosh is four separate compartments. On Shabbos, no four separate compartments. It's one. It's totally one. It's one parsha, one compartment. The Zohar says in Eschanan that the four parts of the Rosh represent Chochma, Bina, Gedula, and Gvura. Four separate compartments, four separate areas. Chayil is Timtzum. On Chayil is limits. On Shabbos is no limits. There's no barriers. You can't wear Tzilin Shirosh if there's barriers. And that's not Chayach. And Shabbos is also, again, against Piruda, the Zohar says, it says, in the Pasuk, until in Tzadik Beis, Yispardu kol poliyavim. All those who do sins, yispardu, they should be separated. Yispardu kol poliyavim. Peruda. A person does a sin, by definition, is yispardu. He is fragmentized. He is separated. But on Shabbos, if a person brings the Kedusha of Shabbos to himself, because he prepares properly, then he will put the Rabbanu Shalom into his heart, and the Rabbanu Shalom is Achdus, is Echad. So if a person sees he's very tzeflagim, his mind is flying, it's the same as his mind is not full with belief in Hashem. When we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Lekein Hashem Echad, we are going against the curse of Yispardu Kol Paliyavim. All those who are doers of evil, Yispardu, they become fragmentized, they become pulverized into little pieces. When you say Hashem Lekein Hashem Echad, then you ma'achid everything in your brain. That's called Yichud. And on Shabbos, that's the ultimate day of Yichud of the Rabban Shalom. And that's why it says, Chemdas Yomim Maisa Karasa. Why is Shabbos called Chemdas Hayomim? Shabbos called Chemdas Yomim. In the davening of Shabbos, we say Chemdas Yomim Maisa Karasa. Chemda means the desire of all the other days is Shabbos. Chemdas Hayomim Maisa Karasa. Shabbos is the day that other Yomim, the other 6 days of the Vach, want to be in Shabbos. Because they are six separate days. And Shabbos is Kailel. Shabbos envelops all the other 6 days of the week. The 6 days that, if a person was Mechem properly for Shabbos, then all the 6 days become one unit together with the Shabbos Kodesh. That's why it's Chemdas Yom Maisa Karasa. There's no period. There's no period on Shabbos.
Rosh represents four things,
but four separate compartments.
But it's not the days of the week, because that would be
not the days. It's the separate compartments. Yeah. Shabbos, no separation. Not only don't you have to wear tefillin on Shabbos, it's also wear tefillin on Shabbos, because Shabbos is one. Shabbos is no separation. Shabbos is no separation. This theme of the ichud of all the of the Mishkan being as achdus, the Mishkan being a the Kedushas Levi speaks about this inyan of achdus in two places. Parshas Vayakov Akudei, there's Merid the Gazachim. So as usual, we're very lucky. The Kedushas Levi dovetails into the words of the Morinayim. So in the Kedush Levi, Chelek Gimel, Chelek Aleph, he says like this. It says in the beginning of Parshat Pekudei, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus. Now Rashi asked right away, why did I say the word Mishkan twice? It says, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus. Could have said, Eile Pekudei Mishkan HaEdus. But it's Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus. Twice the word Mishkan. Ashapaka de Moshe. What's the pshat? He says like this. There's a major difference. There's a little problem. On the one hand, we know that the builder and the master architect, the builder and the master architect of the Mishkan was Bezalel. Aber l'maisa was Moshe Rabbeinu, who taught Bezalel what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Bezalel what to do. He taught Bezalel what to do. He taught Bezalel what to do. And Lemaisa, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was making and mefarik the Mishkan during the whole Shivas Meimaluyim. So for the 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and the Rosh Chodesh Nissan itself, for the last time, Moshe Rabbeinu's one is building up the Mishkan, putting it together and taking it down. So what exactly was Moshe Rabbeinu's function? And what was Bezalel's function? What's the difference? Moshech, Bezalel is the man of the Mishkan, let Bezalel do everything. He built it, he should put it up. Moshe Rabbeinu knows even better than Bezalel what to do, so he should have been building the Kelim and putting up the Kelim. What's the significance of the fact that Bezalel builds it, and Moshe Rabbeinu puts it together? Bezalel creates it, fashions it, and Machdas, he makes it, and Moshe builds it. Bezalel is the maker, Moshe is the builder. What's the chiddush? The maker and the builder. What's the chiddush? A maker and a builder. Zog the kedush is Levi, the chiluk is Zazoy. The bank from the kuni Zoyer, that every one of the kelim represents a different midah. For instance, the menorah. Menorah represents midas ahava. Menorah is ahava. The shulchan is yira. Doesn't explain what it is. That's just stating the kuni Zoyer. That the menorah is ahava, the shulchan is yira. You have to worry about your pranasa maybe. Menorah is the simch of tayr, it's licht, it's ahava. All the midas. And everything is, all the midas are in the Torah, but every kli represents one midah. So, there's a midah in the Bria, and the Bezalel knew that. What Bezalel did was, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur had the koyach to invest the menorah with the midah of Ahava. And he had the koyach to invest the shulchan with the midah of Yira. And that's from the Gemara in Brachas Nunhei. Yodei Bezalel, Letzarev, Oisei, Shnivim, Shmai, Boretz. Meaning to say that Shemayim V'Haaretz were made with the Ahava and Yira, and Bezalel knew how to take all the Yira and the Bria and put it into the Shulchan. He knew how to take all the Ahava and the Bria and he put it into the Menorah. Yodei Letzarev, Letzarev means to put it together. He put together the Ahava to the Menorah and the Yira into the Shulchan. That's what he knew. But, Lo yada v'tzalo, aleiza mitzvah meruma zeakli. Zea Moshe Rabbeinu she'er la'eiza mitzvah zeakli. Dahayinu zeakli meramez l'ava, meruma zeah mitzvah. V'chein shahar mitzvah v'shahar kelim. V'tzalel did a very good job. He's like an antenna, and he brought down all the ava, the bria, the whole universe, and he concentrated into the menorah. He concentrated all the year into the shulchan. But that's not the end. Yidden don't live in the Mishkan. They're not meleptish in the Mishkan. The Mishkan is just you visit the place. The tachlis is to take the ava that you get from the menorah and put it into every mitzvah. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood how you put the ava from the menorah into, I don't know, 100 mitzvahs that have to do with ava, 200 mitzvahs have to do with ava, as many mitzvahs that are primarily ava mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu put in the Ava. As many mitzvahs that are Yira mitzvahs, Moshe Rabbeinu put all the Yira mitzvahs. Loisa says, he knew exactly how to draw out of the Menorah, the Ava that pertains to all the Ava mitzvahs, and the Yira from the Shulchan for all the Yira mitzvahs. Bezalel couldn't do that. Bezalel was a Stam Kelim. Hamoyim al-Ava, he did Stam. But he was not Mechaber it to every single mitzvah. So it says in Tanchuma, only Moshe can make him the Mishkan. Bezalel made the Mishkan, made the parts, but he didn't put it together. It was only Moshe put it together. Moshe Rabbeinu, by putting together the Mishkan, put together every component of the Mishkan, together with other aspects, every mitzvah of the Torah. And it's really like he put the whole Bria together. Bezalel could make individual components. He didn't put the whole Bria together. When you're making the Mishkan, when you put it up, when you construct it, when you stand it up, and when you put it together, that's mamash putting the whole Bria together, because you're putting the whole Torah together. He was inserting the pnimius, Moshe Rabbeinu was inserting the pnimius of the mitzvah of Torah, which is the Av and the Yira, the Chilu Rechimu. Moshe Rabbeinu was doing that. Bezalel couldn't do that. Bezalel could just put the Kedusha into the individual parts of the Mishkan itself, and the Leidik, that's where it is. He took all the Ava from Shemayim V'aretz and put it into these Kelim. But now what? The ability to take that and now put it into mitzvah of the Torah and to put it back in the whole Bria through the Mishkan, that only Moshe Rabbeinu could do. Only Moshe could do that. And he said, now he says, it's two things Rabbi say that Mamash Merdik. One thing I never understood Bechlal, and from the Kedush Levi, for the first time in my life I understand it, it's the Mamash Yisoy Gadol. He says, maybe I jumped to the second part. The Gemara says, I never understood Klor. Gemara in Zvachim Daf Kuf Yud Beis says that Mishkan Shiloh, didn't have the Krushim. It did not have the walls of the Mishkan. It didn't have the Adonim. It didn't have all the hard parts. Instead of the wood and the silver and the basic architectural components of the Mishkan, you had stone walls. Mishkan Shil, the walls are made out of stone. No more krushim, no more adonim, no more brichim, no more tabos, all the stuff is gone. However, you had the urias. You had the urias on top. Urias on top. What does that mean? As I always understood, that means it's like a bridge. It was a middle point between the tkuf of the Mishkan and the tkuf of the Mikdash. The Mikdash is in Gansen, right? Permanent. The walls and the roof is permanent. Here, the walls are permanent, but not the roof. The roof is the alta urias, the portable urias. For 369 years, these urias didn't get fajabit, they didn't get worn out. The urias, and the Arias Eilu Medomim, and the Tchoshim, and everything else, and the weaving on the bottom, is all there for 369 years in Mishkan Shiloh. And the Gemara says that there's a pasuk, Kilei Basam Ad Ata Ela Menucha V'Anachla, Menucha resting stop, is called Shiloh. Nachla, which means a permanent estate, that's the Beis HaMikdash. Zokta Vashteta, he says, the Zachar Zazoy. There's two functions of the Mishkan and the Mikdash. The first function was that we have a makam kavua, where all the midas of Ava, all the Ava in the world, and all the year in the world comes and is concentrated in this place. But the second step is that from this place, there should be a spashtus of the Ava Yira throughout all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and mail into Gans Paiso, and go back into the Bria. So there's a hisraxus, that's really concentration, and then there's a radiation, then there's a spreading out. So first you concentrate in this place, and then you mechaber the Ava and the year and other the Teferis and the Gvura and the Bina and the, every other, right? You take all of that and you mechaber it with everything else. So he says that the walls of Shiloh represent the ability to have the basic foundation, so to speak, of the Mishkan or the Mikdash, which is you bring everything to this makam. So the walls represent bringing it into this area that's separate from the rest of the world. You have this makam. So you bring all the Av and Yir into one makam. The top represents then now spreading it out into the veld. So he says, that ability, Moshe Rabbeinu did it with a Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu, even though the Mishkan itself, nothing was permanent there, you only had the crush, everything was portable. But Moshe Rabbeinu, Bezalel put into the Mishkan, he was Maracas, all the Av and the Yira into the Mishkan. And then Moshe, by putting it up and taking it down, putting everything down, Moshe knew how to be Mechaber to the whole veld and the Kol Tar Kula. However, in Mishkan Shiloh, this wasn't going on all the time. They weren't putting it up and down, putting up and down. So Mishkan Shiloh only had the ability to bring all the midas, to continue to bring in all the Av and the Yir and the Bria into the Mishkan Shiloh. That's what's called Menucha. Menucha means Nach. The midas Taivas rested there. The Kedusha of the Velt rested there. The High Madregas of the Velt rested there. But it's not Nachla. Nachla means Lahanchil. Nachla means now to inherit it to others, to bequeath it to others, to spread it out to others, to pass it on to others. Nachla is to pass it on. Like a nachal, like a river is flowing. See, that didn't have. That's Mamash Shan the Pasuk. Kila Basmanat Ela Menucha Vela Nachla. Mishkan Shil is called Menucha. Menucha means that there was a taka Menucha, there was a resting place. There was a residing. The Midas, Taivis, the Heiliga Midas rested there. They had the Munach over there. There were Munach over there. But that's the thing, they were just Munach. They stayed there. They didn't go any farther. So that's symbolized by the fact that the bottom part of Mishkan Shiloh was solid rock, was Munach, but the top was still the soft top, but not the Starks, the top. And, it was not being put up and down. Moshe was meant doing that. So that means that the top was not Stark. The top was missing something. And therefore, it's only called a Menucha. The Midas type was rested here, but they were not in Spasha. They weren't sent out. Hashem, when they finally built the Mikdash, Yerushalayim, a Mikdash, Zekvias, and it was Schabris Tamid. And therefore it says, that's called Nachla. Behind Lashpia Milamala. That to take the good things and Mashpia to the outside world. So Meredig Pshat, you hear, I hope I explained it properly. I never understood Klor, what the Mida, what the Pshat, and why Shiloh is in the middle of the place. And he says, that's a Pshat. Eila Pekudia Mishkan. Mishkan Eidus. Why says the word Mishkan twice? There's two functions in the Mishkan. Number one is Pekude. Puka, Pukud is a Pshat. Pukoi, like, right, it says, Chayvan Lifka des Ishtai. Lifka means to mechab with your wife. One Pshat. Pekida means is to be bonded. Pekida means to be one. Pekida means, a Pekot, put the rest over here. You put it together. So the first dimension of the Mishkan is Eila Pekudia Mishkan. The first side of the Mishkan is that it's like a pikadon. That the Rebbe Shlom puts a pikadon of Av of Yir in the Midas into the Mishkan. Then, Eila Pekudia Mishkan, after that, Mishkan Eidus. Eidus taka means to mechaver the Mishkan, the Midas of the Mishkan, to all the other Eidus of the Torah, all the Midas of the Torah. And to may it on the Rebbe Shlom through all the Mitzvahs of the Torah, and the Gantz of Eltri, and Eidus of the Rebbe Shlom. So you hear a pshat, that's pshat in the pause, that's the double lashon. Hey, the Bakudia Mishkan. Why was everything put into the Mishkan? There should be a Mishkan in the Eidus, to be a Mishkan that, like an aid, just like a witness testifies and spreads the word. So then the Mishkan spreads it out. First you concentrate it in, then you spread it out. Verdik. How much Verdik? Shiloh only had a middle Madrega. Everything was concentrated, it was Menucha, but there was no Nachla. It wasn't spreading it out. The Beis HaMikdash is called Nachla because Lahanchil, the other people, to give it away. To spread it to the Torah and spread it to Klai Yisrael, spread it back into the Bria. What? So the Mishkan, as long as Moshe was Tzad, Mishkan was the beginning, and as long as Moshe was, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu put it up and put it down, Moshe did what Bezalel couldn't do. Bezalel could just bring the Kedusha into the Kalim. He brought it into the Menorah, he brought it into the Shulchan, the Yira to the Shulchan, the Abba to the Menorah, etc., etc. But it stayed there. It was by Moshe Rabbeinu taking it down and putting it back together, Moshe had the ability to spread the midas that were in the Mishkan to the words of the Torah, which is Moshe Torah's Moshe, and to the Gansavel.
Is it
a chapter, as opposed to Eidus, you can't learn in the Soilim? That's especially the Rabbi, see, it's spreading it out. Even for the Yidden too? What? That the Shekhinah Shrivi is for other rabbis. He's even that the purpose is spread in the Gantz of Bria. Eidus, he the Umas Oyla, the guy, Akram Shlomo Torah, the guy I'm supposed to look at it and know about it. Well, he has to stand the Gemara of a cloud. Eidus, when did the guy come? That's the altar guys. The guy never come in. They can't come into the Beis HaMikdash. They can't go beyond the Chil. How could the guy even see it? It's an under problem, but they knew about it. So the guy knew about it. It was the Eidus to them, the Velt, they'll listen that the Shekhinah is with us, not with them. They think it's in the mosque.
The mitzvah.
Even to the goyim, it's not just the mitzvah. He says the ganze bria. It spreads every place. That's the more. That's the kedush levi, regular. But now I'll conclude this rabbi say the kedush levi in the third chalek married the gishtikel, which is very much similar to this, but the whole different mahalach, but the same idea. Mahalchem Nachal in Purim. We're still in Purim, and the Kedushas Levi and Parshas Pekude, in the Likutim in the back here, but Mahal Nachal in Ador, and it's Nachal in Shtigal Purim Torah. Ksav Yad, it's from a Ksav Yad. Zokta Azoy. Again, whenever I tell you something, I'm missing three quarters of it. I'm telling you, say I'm Mazlik. The state in the Megillah, Aseret Neham and Tzar the Memrinu Beneshima Achas. The Visho Achad the Nafgin Ish Messiah. Aseret Neham and Malb Nachal the Yithus the Purim is over. I've still have Shachmanas. I've still have Pekel of Shachmanas. I've given away so much already. I still have more and more. I must have taken apart 100 already. I don't know, my wife's now. It's endless. Or Samaya guys again. So fat. I gave us the bags. Mommy, big bags. Wherever I can. Iberal, I give shalomans. Eat some shalomans. I have beautiful ones. Gorgeous. Big. Anyway, candy. Who can eat this stuff? The kids, so we have a shalomans from the Kedushas Levi. Mora says that Aser Dehaman Yetzer B'Shimach, they all died in one breath. So what? What's the grace of Gedil? They all died in one breath. What does it mean? In Kriyas Yamsev, not all the mitzvahs died in one shot. Doesn't say Makas B'Chayes, everyone died in one shot. What? They all died in one breath. That doesn't say it's your lashon. They all nafki Yerushalayim B'Shimachas. Here it's B'Shimachas. Then he's another kasha. He says, what's the pshat? The neshamas went out. Goyim don't have neshamas. It's a great yeshava, Goyim's neshama. Said the Rambam did that. You can say, nofak nafshayu. A goy is a nefesh. A goy is a ruach. A neshama, it's not so posh. A neshama is really outside of a person. As a factor, he's a neshama, lo yishayach, rav, and tzadikim. By a goy, you say, nafshayu or ruchayu. The nefesh or ruach a goy has, not neshama. So what's that nafki neshmasayu? So he says essentially the question is basic question. Shaitan Prikyavas, Koma Shabarcha Kadish Barcha by Lama Lebar Lechvoide. Everything Hashem makes for his covenant. So the old question is, what's the covenant of the Rabbanish? Don't ever show him in the Welt? Such a big covenant of Hashem to have Hitler in the world. It's a covenant to have Arafat. To have Osama bin Laden in the Welt. Such a big covet to have the Yetzar in the Welt. Everything Hashem made is for his covet. Everything's for his covet. What's that covet? From the Rishoyim, the Mamrim Kvoida, forget it, the Rishoyim all are rebelling against Hashem. And the Nimrod saying there's no God, we're rebelling against God. And the Hitler's rebelling against God, and the Pope's rebelling against God. Now there's an Gegen in Rabbi Shlom. So this is covered Hashem. Hashem made hundreds of millions, billions of goyim over there with the Zara. What's the grace of covered Hashem for this? The teretz is that's the teretz. The teretz is because the covered Hashem is that we should exercise our bechira, chofshes, our free will to serve the Rabbi Shlom. If there wouldn't be two options, there would be no bechira chofshes. So that's the Ra in the world. There's no Ra in the world. There's no Chayshah in the world. There's no Taiv. Taiv is always relative. Taiv is the force that overcomes the Ra. If there's no Ra, there's no Tov.
Without Ra, there's no Tov.
Because it's all relative. Taiv is the force that you choose to take over the Ra. There's no Ra, there's no Tov. There's nothing. It's Parv. It's nothing. It's Tofu. It's Gonish. Boris, I said Tofu, Tofu for Vofu. That's all it is. It's Gonish. No taste. There's no Shkintam. When there's a Ra, there's a time of the good. So he says, that's a pshat. Malchuscha, malchuscha, lomim. What's a pshat? He says, why there's only malachim in the world? We're talking in the Asher every day, a few times a day. Malchuscha, malchuscha, lomim. Meaning, Hashem, your malchus is that there's malchus b'chol lomim, that there's all kinds of different kings, and there's good kings and there's bad kings. And most ruba the kings are bad. Or governments are bad. Or prime ministers are bad. Or everything is bad. But Malchuscha is to the benefit of your Malchus Hashem because it's Malchus Kol Olamim. Because in the end you'll be the Melech of all the Olamim. Even the hostile ones, even the rebellious ones, the mutiny, they're going to come back to you. And that's why you have in the end of Parshas Vayishlach, you have the Vayimloch, Vayamas, Vayimloch, all the kings of Esav, all the Aluthim of Esav, all the kings from Esav. What do you have there, Vayimloch? To teach you that Vayimloch, Vayamas, that because they died, that's why Hashem was... The Yimel is not going on the Goy, it's going on the Rabbi Shlom. The reason why Hashem is the Melech is because these guys died. When they die, Hashem is talking to them as the Melech. That's why, that's part of the Torah too. The death of the wicked is part of the Torah. Mele is up there, Merid the Gazach. He says, there are Asara Chaychas Hachitzainim. There are 10 outside evil forces in the Bria. And the Aseres Nehoman represent all 10. So the pshat is that when Aseres Nehoman were hung up on the tree, and remember, they really died the day before. He doesn't go into that, but they really, the Nafak Nishmasai was the day before, they were killed by the sword. So the pshat is that by Nafak Nishmasai means, the Shama for a guy, yeah. Because they were tools in Kiddush Hashem. The fact that the Taka were all killed, and they represent the 10 Klippas, the 10 Koichas Harah, therefore, when they died, it became Nishmasayu. It became like a neshama. Because their death was like the death of a malchus of rishus. Malchuscha, because Malchuscha Lamam. When the Rebbe was Malik, even over the wicked Aseret Nehaman, so it's Nafkin Shosai, now there's the Achdus. Until now, they were, like we said before, it's Olam de Peruda. This is what we're talking about all night. Azoy developed before Tikkun is called Alma de Peruda. Azoy is called Alma de Shvira. The Lashem of the Hele Gemara 9 was that after the Chet is the Olam HaShvira. The Gantz developed is Sabracha. The Gantz developed is fragmentized. The Gantz developed is pulverized in the little Shtiklach. Shattered in the little shards. And the Gantz Avoyde is the Mechaber de Olam de Peruda. Yispar de Kol Pol Yavim. So when you see Taka the Poyle oven, Taka gets smashed, their smashing gufa is Nafak Nishmasayu. That grata brings to Numadreg of Neshama, which is Achdus. Because Neshama is the breath of the Rebbeinu, as Hashem is Echad, Hashem is one. There's no period in the Rebbeinu, Chas v'Shalom, Chas v'Shalom. Hashem is Echad, B'tachas HaYichud, Shein Kamoise, Klal, no such thing as Yichud, the Rebbeinu, like Hashem cannot be split into something, can't be split into two gods, Rechman al-Islam, or 10, or 100. But Hashem is everywhere. And he's nowhere. He's everywhere, but he's nowhere. Because Hashem is Echad. He's everywhere. He's everything. So the Mela, since the death of Nehaman was the death of these klipas from the Alma de Peruda, which is the opposite of Neshama, the belt of the shattering. So now, talk when they died, their death, talk they have an Ishmasayu. Their whole Neshama, their 10 Neshamas became like one. The 10 different Ruachs and Nefesh became like one. Because the Chiyu somehow Yudvar Mefuradim. After it left them, became the Shama. That's no tachas. Everything in this island with the Shavira is that which comes to Shlemus. Like he said earlier, that's why Shabbos is the ultimate achdus of Shlemu, because it's Troy. Shabbos is the ultimate Shlemus. The Chitzas. Shabbos no mechitzas, Lasa Lovers no mechitzas, and that's what happened on Purim. There was also no mechitzas. That the 10 mechitzas was every moment in the battle, and from the Alma de Peruda became the Alma de Shlemusa, it became a Yehud Shlim, it became a Gewaltige Achdus. Okay, Rabbi Isai. It's Hashem next week back to Wednesday night. What? Sorry? We have a minyan for Kaj Rabban? Okay. We'll see you, Kaj Rabban.